Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Radio TV and even the press say what's the meaning of VAPORS. The meaning of this word, without no doubt, means nobody wanna be that when you're down and out. Now when you're established and got a lot of money, everybody wanna be your buddy and honey. Like tall builders, they call skyscrapers. Can you feel it? Nothing can save ya, but this is the season of catching the vapors. And since I got time, what I'm gonna do is tell you how they spread it throughout my crew. Well, you all know T.J. Swan, who sang on my records. Make the music nobody beats the biz, well, check it. Back in the days before this began, he used to try to talk to this girl named Fran. The type of female with fly Gucci wear, with big truck jewelry and extensions in the hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always fast talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS. He wasn't no type of big drug dealer. My man T.J. Swan didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks stolen with Fly Valley boots, rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak, and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his people number, she be begging please, dying for the day to get skis. She caught the papers. She caught the papers. That's calm and plain. He goes by the name of the Big Daddy Kane. The mellow type of fellow that's laid back. Back in the days, he was nothing like that. I remember when he used to fight every day. What grown-ups would tell him, he would never obey. He wore pants hanging down and his sneakers untied. And a Rasta type tangle tilted to the side. Around his neighborhood, people treated him bad. He said he was the worst thing his mom's ever had. He said he would grow up to be nothing but a hoodlum, or either in jail, or someone would shoot him. But now he's grown up to their surprise. Big Daddy got a hit record selling worldwide. Now the same people that didn't like him as a child saying, can I borrow a dollar? Ooh, you're a star. Now they call the papers. They call the papers. They call the papers. They call the papers. Now I got a cousin by the name of Von Lee, better known to y'all as Kamasaku V. He cut, scratch, transforms with finesse and all that mess. I remember when he first started to rock and try to get this job at a record shop. He was in it to win it, but the boss fronted, said, sorry, Mr. Lee, but this don't help on it. Now my cousin Vaughn still try on and on and on to the like break the dawn to get this JLB in effect. Then they look right past him and be like, next! Now for the year of 8 to 8, Cool V is making dollars, so my cousin's like straight. He walked into the same record shop up before, and the boss be like, Vaughn, welcome to my store. Offering him a doll, but now he don't want it. Damn, it feels good to see people up on it. Cause I remember one, at first they wasn't. Now guess what they caught from my cousin? The papers. They caught the papers. I guess I gotta talk about me, sing that.
had to work for mine to put your body in pro. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be down with a lot of MTG and crews in town. Drunk crew on Noble Street, I said, can I be down? Camp, they said, no one treated me like a wet food stamp. After getting rejected, I was very depressed. Sat and wrote some death Deuteron at my rest. When I used to come to parties, they make me pay. Would have to beg to get on the mic and rap that day. I was never into girls, I was just into my music. To act like I wanted to keep it dead or trying to use it. But now things switch without belief. Your biz, do you remember me from Noble Street, Chief? We used to be down back in the days. It happens all the time and never cease to amaze. They caught the bass. Yo. They caught the bass.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and that tune was by Biz Markie, Vapors. And tonight's going to be a great show, and I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east and west for tuning in, and all my global listeners, starting with the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, UK, Canada, Nigeria, and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. Thank all y'all for tuning in. And if I missed y'all, hit me up, let me know, and I will mention y'all next week. And our guest tonight, first I want to note that my co-host Chris, where he's at, going through a bad storm. So hopefully we won't lose audio with him. But if not, we still got Marquee in California, and we got our guest, Detective Ben Burgess out of New York. And with that being said, I'm going to say hello to my co-hosts first. How you doing, Mark? How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Doing awesome.
Good, Chris.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
All right. Okay, because I want y'all to stay good, because next week we're going to have the queen or the goddess of womb healers and sex toys. So next week is going to be X-rated. So come out of that shell, because Chris is going to go there. And I will return on September the 14th. So this is my last show for a month. So I have my two trusted co-hosts holding up the fort for me while I go through some personal stuff. But anyway, without further ado, I want to say hello to our guest, Ben. How you doing, darling?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm absolutely grateful that you're here, because you're a detective in New York, and anybody who's been to New York, that place is busy. You know, I got relatives live there, so I'm sure your schedule can fluctuate at any given moment. So I'm glad that you found the time to be here. So we're going to try to get as many questions as possible. You know, okay. Now, what is that noise?
Hello. Oh, that was something I had in the background.
Oh, something you heard in the background?
Hello. Yeah, it was something that I had in the background.
Okay, well, don't have to come spank your hands. Stop that noise. We don't do it like that. I thought it was emergency broadcast, like find shelter or something like that, you know? But anyway,
yeah.
Ben, how long have you been a police officer, a detective? Matter of fact, because police is different. Detective is a little bit more trained.
13 years.
13 years. Bless your heart. Now, I realize, that's a long time. And I realize, I don't know, you got to find a way to just get out of the mindset that you have to deal with at work, you know, and I'm sure you've seen some gruesome things while at work, but I know we can't talk about that because it'll compromise your job and possible crook you might be trying to find. But anyway, we also know that you're a writer, and you are an award-winning writer. So some of those stories that you wrote about, like white on black crimes and the such, is that because that's your therapy, that you chose to write since you couldn't talk about the things that you deal with on a daily basis? And is that considered allegedly to be fictional?
Well, all of my books are my, like, stress relief, And with my latest book, Black and White, it's a book that I felt was needed in this era that we're living in today. Hello?
Okay. I'm still here, darling. I'm letting you talk.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I felt like it was something that was needed to be written in this era, especially with things that's going on with the president and stuff like that. So I felt that this was the perfect time to release a book like that because there's a lot of things that go on with as far as people's biases and things like that. And I wanted people to read the book and look at the world from different perspectives.
Yeah, it's timely.
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot more questions for you, but I'm going to start off with Mark and let Mark get his question in, and then I'll go to Chris.
Yeah, hi, Ben. First of all, I'd like to know, did you come up with the hashtag BTIWOB, Break the Internet with Our Books? And is it a call for people to get off the Internet and stop playing games and read more books?
It's a lot of that. It's a lot of things. It's for that. It's for, for people to discover indie and even traditionally published books. It's for people to understand that indie authors are great too. Like right now, I was blessed to finally be picked up traditionally, but I was an indie author for a long time. And, I wanted an avenue where people could discover me and authors like me. And so I made that hashtag.
I know from my research that you yourself read a lot of other people's books and champion them. What are some of the current titles that you really are excited about that you've read recently that people should read?
Well, personally, I haven't read anything currently because I've been working so much on this new book that I'm working on called Mothers. So I've been really focused and locked in on that. Plus, my new publisher had me. They are re-releasing my book, Love and Happiness and Wounded. So they're releasing those two books. So they wanted me to add extra content to those. So I've been really locked in on adding more to those books and working on my current title. So I haven't really done much reading lately. But
I'm sure your plate is full, yeah.
Trust me when I tell you it is. But my favorite author, Eric Jerome Dickey, he has a whole bunch of books coming out, and I look forward to those.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Chris?
Yeah, hi, Ben. My name is Chris Michael Ward. My question is, since you brought up the president in one of your answers, and my question is, with the president like this, as a detective, do you think he could be, if he's charged with anything, using your detective mind, if he's charged with anything, do you think he could be found guilty?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I would say I'm 99.9% sure he will, because people won't stand for it. There's only so much he can get away with, and
yeah,
even with that, he if he is found guilty, he's going to be held accountable for it. Then
yeah.
You know, everybody, when Obama was president, everybody wanted to attack him, and Obama didn't do half of the things that this guy is doing.
No, I agree.
When it came to Bill Clinton, and when he had his infidelity moment, Mike Pence said, oh, yeah, the president is held to higher standards, and he lied and said that he didn't cheat, but he did, and he should be impeached and this and that. And here we openly know that Trump has had extramarital affairs and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
it's swept under the rug. All the people who are supposedly religious Bible thumpers and stuff like that, they're like, oh, well, even though he is a sinner, we still support him because, you know, he's God chose him to be the president. So I feel like it's a lot of double standards, and I feel like it's boiling over to the point where no matter what, he can't hide behind it forever, and he'll actually have to, you know, pay for whatever crime he's done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
People won't stand for it.
Yeah, hallelujah, yes. Yeah.
Well, the nut didn't fall far from the tree because his son is doing the same old thing. But real quick, I just want to say we had started a segment on the show, Hot Topics, and briefly I'm going to share my hot topics. And if this is a time that you need to go get something to drink or whatever, this would be a good time because if I do my hot topics, I'm going to take a little small break. And my hot topic today is that they was talking about Usher and his wife having a divorce, and they was trying to set up the assets like the home. So naturally, they can't be there when they got people coming through the house. And what they found out was that some of the people, because it's a high-dollar house, they were asking questions about the security system, which is not an unusual question when you're looking for a home that costs that much, you know, in the millions. And so then they will also go downstairs in the basement and see all the equipment. And these people have been leaving windows open. And it's been a clean crime where people will come back and they were ripped off like $800,000 worth of stuff from Usher, and pretty much they were watches that they had took from him, you know, and each watch cost so much money, you know. But at the end of the day, this is a good thing for homeowners and people selling their property like myself. You know, I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that anybody can get a key, you know, and come in my house while I ain't there, you know. So I had to put some of my stuff on lock. But for people up here selling stuff, you know, if you don't have no camera on the inside of your home as well on the outside, you know, do something. Get a voice-activated voice recorder, because at the end of the day, you know, you got to have some kind of a way to check. Because I had an open house here Saturday, and Thursday, and when I came back home, I went to my thing, checked out my camera, and I was seeing who was doing what. So I'm glad about that. So if you're selling property, just be wise, because any realtor can get the code to get that lockbox off your door and come in, and you never know if someone is shady or not. So with that being said, I'm going to take a small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Y'all stay with us.
Controversial. Real, unparalleled. Author Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave you nor forsake you.
dedicate this song to all the lovers in the world tonight. And I expect that to be the whole world, because everybody needs someone or something to love.
That was KC from Jodeci, If You Think You're Lonely Now. And welcome back, everybody, and the ones north and south and east and west and all my global listeners. And with us tonight, we have Detective Ben Burgess Jr., who is going to share some stuff about his books and why this brother is an award-winning writer. What is he doing right? So give us some insight, Ben, on how is that done? When did you start writing, and when did you realize you was good?
I started writing, I would say, in 7th or 8th grade. And one teacher that will always be memorable to me is my teacher, Ms. Ladd Marcus. And she had given the class an assignment, and we had to write poetry. And I wrote a poem about basketball. And she was like, you know what? She was like, that poem was awesome. And she said, look, you got a real talent for this, and I want you to really pursue this. She was like, don't just let this go to waste. She was like, I want you to keep writing, and I want you to pursue this. So I was doing spoken word poetry throughout college and stuff like that, and I wrote my first book, Times Have Changed and Life is Strange. It's a poetry book. And she was in part of the dedication because I felt like she was the person that made me really, you know, have the soul to write a book.
Yeah.
So I wrote that book, and I was doing a couple of the poems from that at different events throughout the city, and people really enjoyed this poem called Ugly that I had made. And they're like, you know, if you made a book out of this, you would, like, that would really sell. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'll think about it. I didn't really look at myself as, like, a novel writer. Like,
right.
I took creative writing and stuff like that in college as electives, but I didn't see myself really as a novel writer. But I said, I'll give it a try. And I always made the excuse that, you know, the reason why I didn't finish it is because I didn't have time. I got injured badly at work. And I had nothing but time. So
okay.
I said, what's my excuse now? So I wrote my first book, Monster, and I started, like, handing it out to, like, my friends and stuff like that. And they were like, you know, we're not trying to blow smoke up you, but this is really good. And I'm like, all right, you know, you're my friends and stuff. I got to see what strangers think. So I let a couple strangers read it, and they were like, you know what, I really enjoyed it too. So I reached out to, I started handing my book out to different agents and stuff like that. And I was getting a lot of positive feedback, but they were saying, your book is really good, but your book is really dark. And
mm-hmm.
they didn't know how they could market it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I lucked out and I had found an agent, and she got me connected with a small press, and that's how I released Monster. And while, you know, I was happy and Monster did really well, things did not work out with that agent at all. She was like, you know, I don't have any black clients, so I don't really know how to market you. And that pretty much ended things with me and her. I'm like, that's not something you say to me. But so that didn't work out. Things with the publisher didn't work out. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. And it worked out for a long time. Like, I started my own company, Legacy Books, and I was producing my own books. I was my own distributor, and I did pretty well. I can't complain.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you happen to have on hand any of that poetry so you can give us a taste of your work? If not, maybe a paragraph out of your latest?
I'm thinking towards the end, I'll give you guys one of my poems. I'll read you guys one of my poems.
Okay, because if you do spoken word, you ain't bashful. So that being said, I know Chris got something he want to ask you.
All right, Ben. Now, my question is, you said you was your own distributor. How did that work between being a detective? I mean, I know they have long hours, so how was it to balance the two?
Oh, it's always hard to balance. It's hard to balance now. But my thing is this. If you want it, you're going to fight for it. And, like, you're going to make the time. Like, I know a lot of people who say, oh, yeah, you know, if I only had the time, I could do this. And if I only had the time, I could do that. And I say this. I have two children. I'm a detective. I work at a gym. I have my own book company. I am starting a daycare. I'm doing all of these things.
Wow.
If I could do all of these things, and
yeah.
I'm one man, people could do other things too. So, like, a lot of times, it's a lot of excuses. And you have to find out if it's you making an excuse or if it's an actual problem. Because how am I doing all of these things and I'm one person?
That's true.
That's right.
That's true. Wow. I applaud you, Ben, because, shoot,
yeah.
Just raising $2.
Yeah, kudos. Yeah, kudos to you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Mark, I know you got something you want to ask burning in your throat.
It's burning. speaking of your poetry, Ben. I love that poem, My Environment, that I was reading on poemhunter.com. I love that one. It's too bad you don't have that one available to read to us. But one of my favorite books, of course, is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, classic. And you used it as a quote to open your book. Tell us about that, and how did that landmark book influence your writing, especially in this, racially motivated topic?
A lot of times, you really have to put us, like, even when you're dealing with as a detective, you have to put aside little biases you have. You have to put aside a lot of things, and you have to look at the big picture. You can't focus on small things, and everything isn't always black and white. The world is in color, and To Kill a Mockingbird, I feel, was before its time, and it's a problem that we still face today. Is that a lot of times people assume instead of actually digging into and finding the whole truth, and that goes with a lot of things. That goes beyond crime. That goes with politics. That goes with people, like. The one of the major lessons I wanted people to see in black and white is that you can't judge a book by its cover, and that people just assume certain things. For example, in black and white, Ben, the main character, one of the main characters, he looks at Billy and he thinks because Billy is white that Billy lived a privileged life, that Billy is only dating his black girlfriend because it's a sense of power. It's a feeling of power he has over being over a black woman. He feels that he's going to be a major candidate to win the partnership because of his race and stuff like that, and vice versa. Billy looked at him and thought the same thing, that, oh, because he's black, that, oh, like black people get everything right now, and that he's only with his white girlfriend because it's a prestige thing, and that he doesn't really love her. And it's all because people are not looking at the major picture or looking at all the facts. They're just assuming things. And back then, To Kill a Mockingbird was explaining that exact fact. And I felt that quote was true then. I felt that quote was true now. And I felt that it was needed to help establish what this book is about.
Wonderful. Well,
very good answer. Thank you.
Yes. Let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about your book, your latest book.
It's about two characters. It's told from four perspectives. It's told from a black man, a black woman, a white man, a white woman. And I wanted that because I wanted people to look at it from every perspective. I didn't want people to think that, oh, it's just a black book, or, oh, he's catering to whites. I wanted people to understand that everybody had a voice in this. So his name is Ben Turner. He's a black lawyer. His parents are successful judges that are retired. He went to prestigious schools growing up. He went to Columbia University for college. He's dating a white woman. He works at this law firm. Then there's Bill. Bill is a white guy. He works at the same law firm. He went to public school growing up. He came from a single-parent home. He went to John Jay, a regular college that isn't that prestigious. And he works at the same law firm. He's dating a black NYPD sergeant. They're both good at their jobs. Bill, the white guy, he's a charmer. He's very good at reading people. He's good at charming the jury. That's what his skill set is as far as what makes him a successful lawyer. With Ben, he's very meticulous. He looks at all the small details and stuff like that that people overlook, and he uses that to his advantage to make him a successful lawyer. They're both given racially charged cases that affect their personal lives. And since these cases are deemed unwinnable, it's the incentive to succeed is that whoever does the best on their case will be considered for a named partner for the law firm. So now Ben is looking at Bill like, you're going to get it because you're white. And Bill is looking at Ben like, you're going to get it because you're black. And they don't realize, because they don't really interact with each other, that their lives are sort of parallel to each other. So Ben is dealing with a popular rapper who allegedly killed a gay couple and killed two NYPD cops.
Wow.
So his guy, Reggie, or Cocaine is his rapper name, he is found with blood all over him, and he's found with a murder weapon in his hand standing over the body. Now, when cops arrive at the scene and they see him running, you see that, you automatically assume this guy is the one who did it.
Exactly.
So that's what he's dealing with. So when Ben goes to see Cocaine, the rapper, he says, I wanted a black man to represent me and not an Oreo. Now, this is something that bothers Ben, because deep down, this is something that has always plagued Ben, that he felt that he wasn't black enough for black people, and he was too black for white people. So he felt like he wasn't accepted by anyone. He wants to make partner because it's always been a goal of his, but an added incentive is that he wants to prove to his white girlfriend's parents that he's just as capable of any of being successful as any white person. So he's dealing with that. Now Bill is his mother is suffering from multiple sclerosis, and she's deteriorating rapidly. He wants to put her in a comfortable place, you know, so that, you know, she can be comfortable before she and not suffer from her disease. He also wants to marry his girlfriend. Now, he's plagued with the problem of, if you're a good person that does something bad to accomplish something good, does it make you bad? I don't want to spoil it, but he finds out that his girlfriend, I mean, that his client, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. He finds out that his client is guilty. Now, his client is a white NBA basketball player, and he allegedly raped a stripper, a black stripper. He finds out that his client is guilty, and he makes the mistake of telling his black girlfriend this fact.
Mm-hmm.
So now his black girlfriend says, if you defend him, he'll do it again. That could have been me.
Exactly.
And, like, whose side are you on? So now it's causing drama with him and his girlfriend and his relationship, because she's like, I don't know if I could be with you if you're going to defend this guy who openly raped a black woman. And he's dealing with the dilemma of, while he doesn't like it, it is his job. And on top of that, he does want to make partners so that he can marry her and take care of his mother. So he's caught in that dilemma. And it's told from the two women's perspective. It's told from the black NYPD sergeant. It's told from her perspective of how can you be pro-black and date outside of your race?
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that you're a cop, does that mean that you don't care about black communities if you're a cop? She's dealing with all of those things. With Rebecca, she's the white girlfriend of Ben. She's dealing with his parents don't like her because they feel she's an entitled, spoiled, bougie woman, and they don't feel like she's worthy enough to be with him. Her own parents think that, you know, she is stupid, and they don't think that she's capable of accomplishing anything. So she constantly has to fight for her relationship with her black boyfriend, and it goes through the trials and tribulations of what she's dealing with. I wanted it to be told from everybody's, and
well,
that's what I did with that one.
Only thing, as far as I'm concerned, the white lawyer, you know, to me, you know, you don't have to take every case. It shouldn't always be about money. It should be about justice and truth. You know, let some little greasy lawyer who's just trying to get ahead, you know, let them do that. But if you don't
see, but when you work for a law firm and they're assigning it to you, you really don't have a choice. Like, at that point, it's your job. Like, you have to do it.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, I hear you, darling. We got to take a real small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yeah. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, hush. My girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
I met you in the dark, you lit me up. You made me feel as though I was enough. We danced the night away, we drank too much. I held your hair back when you were throwing up. Then you smiled over your shoulder, for a minute I was stone cold sober. I pulled you closer to my chest, and you asked me to stay over. I said, I already told you, I think that you should get some rest. Oh, I knew I loved you then, but you never know. Cause I played it cool when I was scared of letting go. I knew I needed you, but I never showed. But I wanna stay with you until we're gray and old. And just say you won't let go. Say you won't let go. I'll wake you up with some breakfast in bed. I'll bring you coffee with a kiss on your head. Then I'll take the kids to school, wave them goodbye. I'll thank my lucky stars for that night. When you looked over your shoulder, for a minute I forget that I'm older. I wanna dance with you right now. And you look as beautiful as ever. I swear every day will get better. You make me feel this way somehow. I'm so in love with you, and I hope you know. Darling, your love is more than worth its weight in gold. We've come so far, my dear. Look how we've grown. I wanna stay with you until we're gray and old. Just say you won't let go. Say you won't let go. Say you won't let go. Say you won't let go.
Wow, that was James Arthur. Say You Won't Let Go. And welcome back to Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Mark and Chris. And our guest tonight, Detective Ben Burgess Jr., is sharing information about his latest books. Real quick, I'm going to let Chris ask his question and Mark, and then I'll get back to me. So, Chris, what question you got for our special guest?
All right, Ben. My question is, outside of detectiving and outside of all the work that you do, what do you do to unwind?
I need to find that out too.
okay.
I work out. I like to work out. I like to box. I like to play basketball. Like, I got home about, say, 2 o'clock in the morning after working yesterday, and I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure that I played basketball with my friends at the gym. Like, I don't have a lot of time, so I have to make the time. So I do that.
Wow. That's devotion.
Okay, Mark. Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ben, speaking of your characters, Ben and Bill, when they make the movie Black and White, what actors would you like to see portray them? Have you thought of that?
Yeah. Let's see. For Ben, I would like to see. I don't know if you guys seen that movie, The First Purge. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What is it?
The First Purge.
Purge.
There's an actor there. I'm trying to see if I could find what his name is. We'll look at the cast members. But there was an actor there who was, he played one of the characters, and I thought he would be good for that, or the boy who played in that movie Dope. Let's see, I got to find
him. Oh, okay.
Give me 1 second. I'll try to find some names for you guys so you can have a face to my vision here.
I'm looking at The Purge. It's Yolande Knowle, who plays Dimitri in the movie, or Jovianne Wade.
You're right, Dimitri. The one who plays Dimitri, yes. Yolande Knowle.
Yolande Knowle, yeah, okay.
Yes, I could see him, or let's see. Or I'd like to see Shameik Moore play Ben. Shameik Moore. He was in that movie Dope.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, somebody else. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think he was Shameik Moore. But let me ask you this, Ben. Are you a single parent? Because all the things that you do, you're extremely busy. So if you had a wife, how does that fit in with you're not ever being home? Because you're trying to spread it out with, you know, your daughters, your friends, your work, your writing, you know. So are you a single parent raising 2 daughters?
No, my girl is in my life. She's in my kids' lives and stuff like that. For the most part, when it comes to stuff like that, I try to keep it personal because she didn't ask to be in my, like I'm trying to become an up-and-coming celebrity, and she didn't ask to be in it. So for the most part, I try to keep her out of it so, you know, she doesn't get unwanted attention. So I do that. You know, plus, seeing that it's obvious that my kids are biracial, sometimes I don't get very good fan mail. People say I hate you. Yeah, they'll say I hate you and your deeper babies. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I don't always get great fan mail. So, you know, to save her from that, I pretty much keep her out of the limelight and I have everything focused on me. And at least people know that everything I do is about taking care of my family and my kids. Like, everything that drives me is for that.
Good, good. Well, I wish you much success in because you're very...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Chris, you got a question for our guests before we kind of wrap it up?
Yeah, my question, Ben, you talked about fan mail, and I get fan mail, too. I've been in media for a long time. I get fan mail, plus I'm very opinionated. So how do you deal with the negative? I mean, how do you separate the negative from the positive, or do you read both?
I read both. Even though you don't like the negative, one, I use it as a means to keep me humble. Like every rejection letter that I got from when I first started, I keep it and I read it sometimes. When I get hate mail sometimes, I keep it and I read it sometimes. I enjoy the good with the bad because, one, when I look at the rejection letters that I got, I see that I came up from that. And all those times when I was upset and all those times when I thought I wasn't good enough, I look at those things and I'm like, I fought and I didn't give up and I persevered. Now I have 28 awards. I got signed by a major publisher. And even though these people didn't want me, I didn't give up and I got what I wanted. With the hate mail, sometimes I look at the hate mail and I'm like, you know what? They hated me, but is there some truth to what they're saying? So I'll read it and I'll see what I need to do to grow as an author for the next book. Some people, they're just not going to like me for anything I do. And for those, it is what it is. But for those who actually give me some type of constructive criticism, I use it to grow from. And I'm like, all right, I see what they're saying and I try to improve from there. When I wrote Love and Happiness, one of the reviewers had wrote something, and I didn't necessarily believe it or think of it, but I was like, you know what? This time around, when the publisher asked me to add some more content, I addressed that issue. Did I have to really address the issue? It wasn't a problem to me. It was only a problem to that one reader, but I addressed the issue and I corrected it. I addressed the issue. You tried your best to be, you know, for all types of readers to enjoy you, but you do have to come out with the realization that you're not going to please everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And that you just have to accept.
Well, Ben,
yeah.
Tell everybody how they can reach you and tell them the price range of your books out there.
Oh, yeah. You can reach me at authorbenburgessjr@gmail.com. You can find me. I have the same author, Ben Burgess, fan page on Facebook. You can reach me on Goodreads. You can reach me on the fan page. You can reach me at that email address. My books are on Amazon Kindle Unlimited. And those, if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free. If not, I don't really try to overprice my books. So my e-books are $2.99, and the paperbacks range for about $10 to $13.
Sounds good, but I just want to say this. We appreciate having you here tonight with us. And
next week,
Chris is going to go solo, host a show, him and Mark. And our special guest will be the Goddess of the Womb Healer and Sex Toys. So if you're going to be uncomfortable, then don't tune in because Chris is going to hold it down and just don't F it up. You know, you got to go there. You got to ask the questions that other readers want to hear. Not be shy.
Yeah.
I'll be listening in eventually. So y'all take care. And again, thank you, Ben, for spending this Friday evening with us because you could have
been
someone
else.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and
congratulations. Very inspirational.
Yeah, congratulations. You keep doing your thing. And say hi to all my friends listening north to south, east to west, and all my special friends in Nebraska. Thank you for tuning in, and y'all take care. Have a good weekend.
This is that
weekend.
Bye.
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 It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Why'd you have to leave so soon, yeah? Why'd you have to go? Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell you without feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on. Till the day you're home, carry on.